If you let people be the color in the room and you give these compelling characters the space to let their colors come to life and really understand what excites them, what their personalities are, why are they traveling, what do their kids like, all these little details, you'll be able to create this experience and this stay that is going to completely blow them out of the water. And that is what excites me. The new school.
This is The New School with your host, Christine Hong. Welcome to a new kind of school, where we talk about career paths you don't normally get to hear about in the classroom. Every episode, I talk to someone with an interesting life path and learn about how they got to where they are today. Hey everyone, so happy to have you guys back here for another episode of The New School with me, your host, Christine Hopp. I don't know about you, but I felt like I had no career guidance growing up. There's career counselors at school, which I met with like twice a year. I didn't really get much from them on how to take the learnings at school and actually turn them into a viable career. It's actually one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast. Luckily, that wasn't the case for today's guest, Caroline Schoen. She originally was going to follow in her brother's footsteps to do economics until a career counselor took her aside and asked, "What are the three things you're most passionate about?" She wrote them down and came back to the career counselor and said they were traveling, making people happy, and hotels. This one simple question from her career counselor led her to become one of the Four Seasons' youngest hotel managers at just 22 years old. Now, Caroline has worked in 10 different hotels across 5 countries, has worked in the hospitality industry for 7 years, and she's just 24. In this episode, Caroline explains exactly how she broke into the hotel industry and takes us behind the scenes on what it's really like creating the hotel environments we've all experienced, but don't really know what goes into them. She also talks us through exactly what a successful career in hotel management involves and what personalities and skills are needed for each department of a hotel. So, Caroline, I'm so excited you're on the show.
I'm so delighted to be here. So thank you for your time.
If you had to describe your current job to the audience, what would you say it is?
So my current job right now is at Alberge Resorts. The actual hotel is called Monolani, and I'm currently the guest experience manager. So this role is really about how we get to curate experiences for our top guests, be able to help them plan their stay from the time that they book to when that they're here and then when they depart. So it's really a lot of creative stimulation, a lot of guest touch points and being able to create this dream experience, whether it's for a celebrity, just for a huge family that's coming and booking one of our top suites or bungalows. It's about how we can make that experience just that much more special.
Cool. So I'm kind of curious, what was your childhood like? Like, what did you think you were going to be when you were growing up?
Yeah, I remember at the age of 6, I definitely wanted to be an artist. I was always like the creative kid. I loved painting. I loved drawing. And I thought I wanted to go down that route. And throughout high school, I really started to get a little bit more influenced by my brother, who is a year older than me. And he always wanted to go into like economics and business. And so spending so much time with him, I kind of figured that would be the same route for myself. I never really ever questioned any other career path. And it wasn't until I was about 16, right the summer before I was applying to colleges, when I went up to my junior English teacher at that time, which was Mr. Holstrom. And I came up to him and I said, my brother Kevin, he did this amazing summer program at Wharton and I really want to do it. I think this is going to help me get into Wharton, which is my dream school, because, Kevin wanted to go there. And Mr. Holstrom just like looked at me and he was like, "Well, Caroline, have you ever actually spent some time thinking about what you wanted to do, like what your dream career is and, where you want to go for school?" And I was like, "Honestly, no, I just figured I could follow in my brother's footsteps." And it was during that time when he was like, "Go back home. I'm not going to write this recommendation letter for you, but I want you to come back and tell me 3 things that actually excite you and fuel that passion." And so I went home and I was like kind of overwhelmed. I was like only 16 and I like did not know a clue of what I wanted to do. But I sat down and I was like, "Okay, what are 3 things that really make me happy?" And at that time, I absolutely loved just making others happy. Like I loved hosting people at my house, having friends over. And I really just cared deeply for just the people around me. Another aspect that I had loved at that time was just traveling. Each year, my family and I, we would go somewhere different around the world. And I just loved being able to immerse in the different cultures and different locations of what each place has to offer. And the third thing was I knew what excited me the most about travel was hotels, because that was the way that me and my brother, when we were growing up, that's how we made friends in like Greece and Asia and like different parts of the world. That's how we found a community. It was through hotels, jumping on beds, running over to the neighbor's room and making friends with their children. And you know, I came back to Mr. Holstrom the next day and I was like, these are three things that make me happy, but I have no clue if there is even a career path for this. And he goes, you know what? Actually, there is. There's this thing called hospitality in this hotel industry. And my sister actually is in that industry. I think this would be a perfect fit for you. There's this summer program at Cornell. It's called Cornell Summer College, like Hotel Management Tactics for Profitability. I think you would absolutely love it. So I think I'm going to write a recommendation letter for you. And truthfully, like that experience and that conversation was the changing point of my career and like how I found out about hospitality in the hotel industry.
Well, first of all, that's so amazing. You had such an amazing career coach growing up. I felt like I didn't have that. But also, hotel summer camp, what was that like?
So hotel summer camp, I remember this so clearly. It was my first time being in Ithaca in New York. And I walk in and a lot of the peers, their parents are in the hospitality industry. So they like own hotels or, you know, have their own restaurants, or since they're really young, they've already been helping their parents in the hospitality industry. So this is no stranger to them. I came in a little bit more fresh-eyed, you know, not really having an understanding of what goes on beyond the back end of the hotels and operations. So definitely very curious. And it was awesome because this summer camp, we got to use this program called Chess, which is a simulation program of running your own hotel. So figuring out how many rooms you want to overbook, how you want to design your hotel, how you want to model it, a different structure, you know, different designs, and really just like experiential learning. And that was the first time where I got exposure to see like how you operate a hotel. So I remember at that end of that program, it was about a month long. I went over to my professor, Renita, and I said, Renita, look, I think I want to come to Cornell Hotel School. I think this is my dream. I have a few months and I have to apply to school. What can I do to get in? And she was like, honestly, you're definitely going to need hospitality experience. You're going to need like tangible experience. A summer camp alone won't be able to be good enough for you to be able to get in. So I said, okay, no problem. And she's like, I also say that because you can do a summer camp and love the idea of a hotel, but not until you actually work one will you know if that's your passion. So I went home and I started applying for a bunch of hotels, and I started working at the Crowne Plaza doing a rotational internship. And then I started working at the Fairmont in Orange County as well, doing banquets and then being a server at a restaurant. So I was doing senior year, juggling three jobs, and I just fell in love with it. I was addicted. I would, you know, wake up at like 5 a.m., go to school, like I had zero period, and then come home by like 12 and then get changed and then just work through the three jobs.
So you were sleeping like 5 hours a night?
I would not get home until 11 p.m. or 12 a.m. some days. And it was so funny because sometimes I'd still have to study for my exams. I was taking a lot of APs at the time, and me and my brother shared a car. So I started setting up pillows and blankets in the car. So I would park outside Denny's. And I would literally go over to Denny's and study and like study for my exams. And sometimes I would be like, I don't even have the energy to drive home right now. So I would just start sleeping in the car.
That's like your own hotel in your car.
And then one day, I think my brother, he was doing his first year of college. So he came home and then he found all these pillows and all these blankets in his car. And he was like, Caroline, what are you doing? Like, this car has literally become your own home. And I was like, I just love working at hotels. So yeah, during that year, I definitely grinded a lot and I just fell in love with it.
Awesome. Okay, so you were really into these internships and you decided you wanted to do hospitality for college as well?
Yeah. So I had applied to hotel schools in Switzerland and Cornell, and then I ended up getting into both. I ultimately decided New York because my family wanted me to be closer to home. So I decided when I was going into it, freshman year of college, I was like, okay, I definitely want to do hotel operations. Because the field of hotel management and, you know, when you get a degree there, there's so many different routes you can take. You can, you know, go into consulting, you can go into financial services, you can go into marketing, and you can go into like, you know, different startups of tech firms of like hospitality. And there's very few, it's like a smaller percentage of people that actually want to pursue operations. And how that differentiates is operations is like the nitty-gritty of how a hotel runs. So it's like the rooms division and food and beverage division of what you see when you go into a hotel and you see people checking you in, concierge helping you plan your stay, or you go to a restaurant and people are, you know, creating this like 5-course menu for you. All of that, that's like the operations. And the reason that a lot of people are starting to stray away from that is because it's a crazy industry. The hours are very long. And it takes a lot of emotional labor. And what I mean by emotional labor is that there's always going to be a lot of, you know, different personalities of guests. A lot of times they might be upset, they might be yelling, and you always have to practice like 100% empathy of being able to understand where they're coming from. And so it takes a lot sometimes emotionally and mentally from you, but you have to have that emotional intelligence to be able to create that experience. What I usually say to people when they're asking, you know, whether or not they want to go into hotel operations, because there's a saying inside this world where it's like, you have to be crazy to want to stick to hotel operations because it's just so intense. You're usually, you can be working 14 hours, 6 days a week. You got to love it. And it sometimes takes a lot out of you. So it's a very small percentage of people, even at Cornell for the hotel management school, that go into operations. What you actually have to fall in love with operations is a deep passion for hospitality. Before you even love hotels, you got to breathe and live like hospitality. And I think hotels are secondary. Like, yes, the idea of a luxury hotel can excite you, but if you're not excited and you're not fueled by hospitality, you're going to get burnt out by this industry. And I think it's asking yourself, like, the idea of creating these, you know, positive, uplifting experiences, being able to craft these relationships in the midst of the craziness, the craft of how you make someone feel, that very intangible concept, is that what excites you? And if the answer is yes, then I think that's something that's going to continue to drive you even on the crazy and hard days. And one of the people that I really look up to, his name is Danny Meyer. My all-time favorite book, it's called Setting the Table. He is the CEO of Union Square Hospitality Group, and his restaurants have earned 28 James Beard Awards. So he's very like renowned in the hospitality industry. And one of his quotes that I absolutely love and I to this day stick by, I'm actually going to read it to you, is, "But what really challenges me to get up and go to work every day is my deep conviction about the intense human drive to provide and receive hospitality. It goes well beyond the world of restaurants, and this applies to hotels too. Within months of being born, most babies find themselves receiving the first four gifts of life: eye contact, a smile, a hug, and some food. We receive many other gifts in a lifetime, but few can ever surpass those first four. That first time may be the purest hospitality transaction we'll ever have, and it's not much of a surprise that we'll crave those gifts for the rest of our lives. I know I do." And I think that is something that has very much stuck with me. Hospitality is simple, but it's also hard because it's about how you read the experience and how you let people come to life in that space. So that's probably a long-winded answer to you.
No, actually, I had these questions popping up in my head, like, what does hospitality mean to you? But I was like, oh, she just went ahead and answered. Because it's like this vague word, right? Like, hospitality, I think of like being welcoming someone in a home, but as an industry, I was wondering what the term meant to you, but then you went, totally went and answered it. I guess I'm wondering, well, first of all, how was studying in college? Did it feel different than summer camp, obviously?
Right. So college taught me a lot about leadership, like management experiences, and just, you know, like really just the tactical skills and like being able to understand how to run a hotel from a management perspective. And college was a great experience, mainly though, because of the network of the people that inspire you and that support you and just bounce off ideas. I think most of my best friends are all in that space. Few of them actually are doing operations. They kind of all strayed away from it, but it's, you know, still being able to have that support network and have that same, you know, shared passion for hospitality that always keeps you driving forward, keeps you, you know, thinking about new ideas, you know, innovating and really just challenging you to, you know, think broader, think bigger. And I think that's what college gave me. I think most of it, though, when I look back, I think more about the experiences, the internships that I was able to really luckily have. And I started working at hotels when I was 16. So I was able to just work around in 10 different hotels in 5 continents. And I was able to just get absorbed internationally. I always wanted to know what's like the next experience, next apartment, next location I can learn from. And I think that's the best way, because when you're working in Dubai, for example, working in guest relations and being able to curate these experiences for VIP guests versus if you're in, you know, Qatar and Seychelles working on pre-opening plans with the general manager versus if you're in Asia, you know, in Beijing doing sales and marketing for Park Hyatt. These are all different experiences and they all teach you something. And I made it a point to always do a different department each internship so that I knew what my passion and would become. You know, so I did food and beverage, banquets, sales and marketing, guest experience, front desk, all sorts. So I could really get a good scope of what hotel management was. And I think a lot of these experiences, it teaches you exactly, okay, like this is how a department is, what type of personality you need for that department, what a great person would be and what fit. And you learn from these different skills and it allows you to kind of, you know, apply that to the guest in a well-rounded experience. And so I think that's why I always go back to, it's like all about experiential learning. A lot of times people like, you know, will ask like, okay, well, how do I know what department I want to do? There's so many departments in a hotel. There's the rooms division. There's the food and beverage division. How do I even know what I want to pursue? Like, you know, I went to college for 4 years studying hotel management. I'm still not quite sure. Usually my answer to them is that you have to actually work in that department to know. You could work for 3 months. You could always do the rotational management and training programs and you'll get an idea, you know, to broad level it. It's like people who want to go in the food and beverage division are typically your creatives, the ones that love like menu developments, concept, are always like the foodies keeping up with the restaurants. And people who want to go to the rooms divisions are usually more like detail oriented. They're a little bit more organized. They really like the whole check-in process to the checkout, to the room inspections, the quality, all of that. And that's what excites them. So it's kind of, you know, being able to delve into hands-on real life experiences.
What's the biggest difference you saw between the different locations of the hotels?
I loved working in the Middle East and Seychelles in East Africa. And I think for that particular area, the clientele is very, very demanding just because of the culture, you know, the different interactions, very high profile guests as well. But what I love the most about working in that area was that it's literally a melting pot. It's like you work in a department, and there's people from 52 different backgrounds because they're all expats and they're all coming from all around the world. Versus like if you're working in, when I worked in Dallas, Texas, it was a more of like, you know, it was my safe zone. I felt very comfortable. And I think moving to Dubai for the first time and working there, I didn't know a single person. It was pretty, you know, daunting at first. Like I didn't know like what to expect. I didn't know how I was going to assimilate into the culture and the location. But what you realize is that these hotels become your home. At the same time, while you're welcoming these guests into your quote unquote, like home away from home, these hotels are also your home. And so how you fit in and the community that you create with your coworkers, as well as your guests, like it all becomes basically a shared space. And I think in the Middle East, what it taught me was that, yes, there's these high profile guests. There are usually a lot of high expectations, a lot of curveballs, but anything is possible. And if you have the right team within, you have the right passion, you can make a lot of these experiences come to life and to see how, you know, happy they are, how pleased. That's like the most rewarding, fulfilling experience from it. And that's why like Dubai and Seychelles, both particularly those locations have always hold like a very special place in my heart. I definitely could see myself going back there one day.
That's so awesome. So you're talking about how a lot of your friends shied away from operations and you mentioned quite a few different roles you tried in your internship. So I was wondering if you could kind of cover what the main different roles are in hotel management that you can choose from when you graduate.
Right. For hotel management, you can, when you graduate with a degree, you can go into, you know, just the general hospitality industry field. So that could be like sales, marketing, like human resources for different type of companies, consulting, you know, the airline industry, the cruise industry, all of that. But if you want to go specifically into hotels, the best way to kind of categorize that is operations. And that's rooms versus food and beverage. And so that's kind of the two different departments. And usually a lot of people like don't really know where to start. It's like, do I first pick a company? Do I first pick a department? Like, how does this work? my kind of prioritization is first pick the company. The company will matter basically a lot in terms of your entire experience, right? If you want to work for a company like a Four Seasons, for example, that has more than 100 plus hotels in the world, is very structured. It has its formula figured out. So you're going to learn a lot from that company versus Alberge, for example, which is a little bit smaller scale. They're only having, 19 resorts right now in the world. And that one will require a lot of more creative stimulation, a lot of more idea building. So you pick a company, and there's a lot of different companies out there. You find out what kind of culture you like. You get to talk to, people who already work there. And once you kind of get a good feel, then you ask yourself, okay, where do I want to be? Like, what location? And so you want to ask yourself, do I want to be working for a resort where the typical length of stay is like 5 to 7 days, sometimes even 2 weeks? Or do I want to work in a city hotel where it's more business focused, a little bit more fast paced? For me, I've always fallen in love with resorts because I love that time that you are able to build that connection with the guest and really curate those experiences. And also ask yourself, like, what kind of environment do I want to be in? Do I want to be in the hustle bustle of New York City? That is a city that brings me to life, keeps me on my feet. Or do I want to be in an island like Hawaii where nature reminds me to step outside of my own headspace and to appreciate the small joys of life and kind of just, listen to the ocean waves and whatnot. And so once you figure out resort, a city, and like what location you want to be in, then you can ask yourself, okay, for the department. A lot of times when you're first getting out of college, you won't really have a set clue of what department you want to be in. That's why there's this thing called management and training program where you rotate through the different departments every 3 months. So by the end of your 2-year program, you have a good feel of which department you enjoy and what is your forte. If you don't want to go that route and you just want to, apply for a department, usually by the different job descriptions, like whether it's concierge, resort assistant manager, F&B manager, you'll get a good feel of what the job requires you to do. And you can ask yourself, is this what excites me, right? Like, is it, serving people food and being able to think about, menu developments and the design, the look and feel of the restaurants and thinking about the wine list, all of that. Is that what excites me? Or is it really about the rooms aspect of it, where it's like being able to have more of the guest interaction, whether it's housekeeping or front desk or concierge and front drive. But if you're with a good company, they'll set you up with a structure of a rotational program. And even if you aren't in that rotational program, that's okay too, because what you'll find is like, maybe let's say I'm working, at a restaurant, I'm the F&B manager there. I'm working there for 3 or 4 months. And I realize this is not my jam. And I really want to be like on the front office side. I think I'm intrigued to try that. Hotels, you have so much flexibility. They'll be like, yeah, no problem, Caroline. There's an opening here. Let's try to get you over here to like shadow, to expose yourself to this department. You can easily switch around. You don't have to actually, put yourself in a set route, in a division, and feel like you have to stay there. I think you have to really more so ask yourself the big picture of the company culture, what type of hotel you want to work for, and if hospitality is the thing that drives you.
That makes a lot of sense. That's been really great advice. So when you graduated, how did you settle what you wanted to focus on?
So I did F&B for a little bit during my internship experiences, and I loved it. But what really excited me was the guest experience aspect. It was like being able to plan their stay from the beginning to the end and being able to create these wow moments. That is what fuels me. And I always think about hotels, the best way to kind of describe it is that as a manager or whatever position that you are in, you own that position and you're a host. It's like you're hosting your friends and families over to your home, which could possibly be, in Dubai or Seychelles or Hawaii. And it doesn't matter if they're a celebrity or if you're average everyday, person that is just coming for a vacation with their family, you're the host and you're welcoming them to your home. And you think about it and you're like, okay, like this front desk area, this whole place is really just the lobby is just a living room. You're hosting them in the living room for the night. You want to bring them to the lounge, or we have a backyard space, we can play games. There's a pool. And you just think about it in that aspect. And I found through that kind of, approach, I found what really excited me was letting people be the color in the room. I think a lot of times, people come in to hotels and like, okay, it has to be this design, it has to be this look and feel, you need these standard operating procedures, you need the systematic process. And I think all those are so important to let an hotel actually run. But I think what comes down to it is if you let people be the color in the room and you give these compelling characters the space to let their colors come to life and really understand what excites them, you know, like what their personalities are, why are they traveling? What do their kids like? All these little details, you'll be able to create this experience and this day that is going to completely blow them out of the water. And it's going to be incomparable to any other hotels that they have stayed at. And that is what excites me. Like, kind of always challenging, like, okay, we have these experiences, but what other experiences that are more elevated can we create? One of the main projects that I have been working on recently that has excited me is this whole relaunching with excellence that Auberge Resorts is doing. And it's about thinking about experiences that aren't your typical day-to-day experiences, that are really unique, that draw in the locality of the hotel to the environment. Especially now with COVID, what's going to differentiate hotels is not going to be the building and like the design of it. What's going to differentiate hotels in this industry now is going to be the experiences and how you make people feel. And so we've been coming up with like more bespoke top shelf adventures, things from even like taking a helicopter over to a farmer's market or whatnot, or like a botanical garden or a different location, and handpicking different herbs and different, you know, produces with the chef, and then bring it over to the hotel and the cooking with the chef and having this 5-course curated, you know, dinner. And I think for me, that's how I kind of found my way over here. And just even a year before, I was doing housekeeping, and that itself is a whole department and craziness of its own. It was like 110 person team. So it's huge, right? We have so many housekeepers, and it's like, how do you get all the rooms ready by 12 p.m., right? It's like you go in, it's like madness sometimes. And that department, I would say it's definitely not the most glamorous department in the hotel, right? Because it's a lot of hard work. Like, you see your housekeepers, they're like scrubbing toilets, they're, you know, making the beds, and they're sweating because they've been doing like so many rooms all around the hotel under pressure. And what that department has taught me ultimately is it's humbled me to the core of like how to be a good human and how to be a good leader. And I think even that experience of its own, it's something that I never intended to go into. I was always thinking like, I want to be in like the front office, like guest experience, maybe F&B, and housekeeping was never the drawing point to why I came into the hotel industry. However, it has definitely been the most critical department in what I've learned, because it reminds you to the essence of, at the end of the day, you could have a team of, you know, the front-facing people, but if you don't have these housekeepers working for you in the back of the hotel, getting these rooms ready, you're not going to have a, you know, well-functioning hotel. You're not going to have anything for your guests. And so for that aspect of it, it teaches you, you know, like about how to be a leader, how to truly care, and how to work with your team. You better be in there making beds with them, cleaning the rooms with them, or you're not going to gain their respect. And so that's why I say, like, the hotel industry, there's so many different aspects to it. And you can find yourself fitting in with each department and finding a different part of your personality shine, but you never have to set yourself in one set team or department.
Which guest experience you're like the proudest of, like a particular guest moment?
I feel like it's so funny because if you asked me this maybe in my first few years in the hospitality industry, I could definitely pick and choose specific experiences. But now that I've been in it for almost 7 years, 7 to 8 years, everything seems to blend and there's not one moment that shines. But my favorite type of experiences to curate are proposals, like honeymoon trips, anything with couples. I think that's very, very special. And you can do so many things that are creative with it, right? You can find out like where they went for their honeymoon, and it involves a little bit stalking on the end, but like getting all these pictures and putting together a photo album for them, and then getting embroidered robes with their initials, and, you know, setting up an entire private dining experience under the stars with just the two of them by the beach. And, you know, when they come back to the room, it's like romantic turndown. So they see on the bed rose petals in the shape of their heart and like their names, and then like, you know, candles all over with flowers in the bathtub, and they just get so blown away. Or even just like, you know, couples coming to get away, you know, they have kids and they just want to, you know, just get a breath of fresh air. So, you know, finding out what, you know, their kids like, and like what type of stuffed animals. And like for one guest, I think they came out for their first vacation ever after 4 years. They had like a 4-year-old kid, and this was in Dubai, and they came out and they started missing their kid a lot, and they just wanted to like be back home because they missed their 4-year-old. So they're constantly FaceTiming with their 4-year-old, wishing that they had brought their child. I think her name was Allie, along. And so what we ended up doing was we knew Allie loved to, you know, collect stuffed animals. So we had a little bear with a small Four Seasons robe, and we embroidered it with the name Allie. And aww, we gave that to the parents to take home. And I think those are the things that excite me, like seeing how happy a guest is and how special you can create these memories. And it only takes a small touch, but you know, you can do something like something small to this end, or you can do something extravagant, right? Like you chartering helicopters the morning of for a couple that wants to go out and do this very intimate experience, and then bringing them back and having a picture frame with the experience and a bunch of their favorite foods and all that. You could go, you know, elevated, or you can just keep it simple and what draws to the heart, you know, and like little handwritten cards. It's all the small touches. And I think that's what keeps me in this industry, because of that aspect of just that pure love for hospitality.
Like, what's a career ladder like for hotel management? Could you walk through where you've gone after graduation and like what's next really for you?
Right. So let's say like someone who graduates from college, typically you go through a training program if you want to be a manager for about 1.5 to 2 years. And then after that, you become an assistant manager. So you could be like a resort assistant manager, you could be a F&B assistant manager, housekeeping assistant manager. And then after that, depending on how well you do for a year, for 2 years, then you become a manager. So that could be like front desk manager, concierge manager, you know, F&B manager. And then you go on to the next step where you could be a department head. That's kind of varies in different hotels, but that's like director of rooms or assistant director of rooms, and then director of F&B. And then you become a resort or hotel manager. So that oversees like the operations of, you know, like the hotel, and then eventually become general manager, which like now you're dealing with like ownership and a lot of like you're thinking about developments in the pipeline if you're a regional vice president. So that's kind of the move up. But a lot of people also stray away from hospitality industry is because it takes a long time to actually accelerate and grow up that ladder. To become a GM, it's probably going to take you like 20 plus years, especially with the Four Seasons. If you're doing a smaller company like a boutique, probably less time, considerably less time. But if your goal at the end of the day is just to be a GM and you're looking for that title, there's going to be a lot of days where you come home where you don't feel that fuel anymore, because you know, it's going to be a long ride. You're for sure in for like a long experience. It's not like you're going to be a GM in 5 years. So it's more about asking yourself like, okay, the position, the title, your next steps will definitely come if you perform, but you got to focus on right now. Like, who is your team, right? Like understand like, okay, right now I'm overseeing housekeeping. That's going to be like my focal point. And I'm going to make sure that the housekeeping experience is going to be the best at this hotel, but also these employees are going to have the best experience working with me as a manager. It goes both ways, right? And so if that's your focus, you're going to grow and grow like through different departments. And a lot of times with the hotel industry, what's so amazing about it is that it requires a lot of moving and like a lot of traveling. And you can grow faster if you like do a stint in like, let's say China, and then you do another stint in Egypt, and then you do another stint in like Europe, or like, you know, like let's say Italy, you know, like different places, because they want to see that cultural immersion, that international exposure. So if you're willing to move and you're not stuck to a place, you definitely can grow a lot. And it's always about checking in with yourself, like asking yourself like, okay, is my end goal like just becoming like GM by age 30? Or is my goal like focusing on this hotel for a while? I love living, for example, my take is that I love Hawaii and I want to stay here for a while. It's actually the first time I found a place that I just fell in love with. And I could see myself living here for forever. And for me right now, it's, you know, really focusing my time on this new company that I'm working with, Alberge and Monolani. And, you know, it's not thinking about like, okay, where do I want to be in like how many X years? I know that will come. Like definitely, I've always had that ambition and that passion, but it's more about like thinking about, okay, how can I reshape the whole guest experience? Like, how can I redefine hospitality? You know, what continues to excite me and what can I draw upon that? And what are my areas that I need to focus on? And then just putting all my time and effort in that, you know, scope of your realm, and you're going to get there when you get there. And eventually, you know, one day, I'm sure I would love to open up like my own hotel. And I think that is such a spark in me. I love playing host for guests, and having my own, I would just love that whole process of creating it. I think right now I'm still developing, you know, skills and developing that perspective and that mentality and the different approaches so that I can one day hopefully, you know, make that dream of mine happen. And, you know, I think like that's what you have to always remind yourself in your hospitality industry is not thinking about like becoming a GM, which is a very common goal for a lot of people, but that's kind of going to take time. It's about asking yourself like, how can you make this department and this experience and what you're working on the best of all time?
I agree. I think that's great advice for any industry, honestly. I see people very focused on like becoming director of product, VP of product at tech company, and like it takes 10, 20 years. So if you don't enjoy the journey, you're a little screwed.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, enjoy the journey. Yeah. I love how you put that.
So I'm wondering, what's your day-to-day like now?
So this company is a bit smaller. It's like 19 resorts and there's like 8 hotels in the development plan right now, Auberge Resorts. But actually in this hotel, the Monolani, which is it's 333 rooms. So it's a bit bigger of the number of rooms is bigger, but the actual like with Auberge, you know, like you can come up with any idea, you can challenge it, and then it can be implemented through other hotels. So for example, one of the things I was working on was the pre-arrival strategy. So how you're able to really curate that experience and get the guest preferences and understand everything they want so that when they come to the hotel, they already have a crafted itinerary that blows them out of the water and that they already have that connection point. So I built the strategy with my team. And once we built it here at the Monolani, the GM ended up sending it over to, I think, the operations corporate team. And so they saw, they're like, wow, this is brilliant. Like, we want to implement it to all the other Auberge properties. So when they heard of mouth, like in a week's time, the other GMs like contacted us like, okay, can we sit on a listening call? Because we want to make this happen. And then, for example, it was someone's idea to create this whole remote with Auberge program. Because we're only 19 hotels, all the hotels talk to each other. We're all working together on how we can create this program. It's absolutely amazing. I would definitely say I've never, ever been so creatively stimulated and also had so many ownership over ideas. And then just being able to like present them to the executive committee like the next day. And they're like, you know what? We love this idea. Let's see it come to life. Whereas when you're working for a bigger company, like Four Seasons, for example, I would say like that's a great starting ground because it teaches you the tangible skills and the fundamentals. You need the fundamentals from that luxury property to be able to apply them to like smaller hotels in the future, like boutique hotels. And Four Seasons, it's more of, you know, you walk in and this is like a well-oiled machine. You know, there's already SOPs, the standard operating procedures, they have teams built and all this. So it's like learning the fundamentals of like, oh, this is what luxury is. Whereas here with Auberge, it's more about, like, for example, this role that I have, guest experience manager, it's a newly created role. So we never ever had this role before I came. So they created it and now I get to build my team. I get to run with any idea I want, how I want to shape it, how I want the future to look, how I want to grow it. And that's something that in Four Seasons, for example, you have more of those set structures, which I think honestly is a great building ground because I would never be where I am today without my back experience with Four Seasons, which I love the company too as well.
So what's your favorite and least favorite thing about your job right now?
I love that question. My favorite thing, I think, not just about this job, but general and about hotels and hospitality is the interactions of people. That is what fuels me. And being able to be creative and think about experiences that are one of a kind, that draw upon locality that a guest has never seen before and a guest has never experienced. And being able to share that with them from an intimate and real level, that vibrancy is what excites me. Just seeing a guest smile or come to you and be like, Caroline, that was the best stay I've ever had. And I've stayed at like 80 hotels or whatnot. Like it was amazing. That's the most rewarding aspect of it. And I love being creative. And so I think that's my favorite part. And it has always been. I think in terms of the least favorite part is managing your headspace, because a lot of times your headspace can get very busy. You have a lot of guests, you know, with different needs or different things. And, you know, it's kind of just running through, you know, sometimes you have upset guests, you have happy guests. It's a lot. It's like a whole like theater performance. And there's a lot going on in your head. And a lot of times what you'll find with hoteliers is they'll go back home and they're still constantly just thinking about like what this guest said today and like what's going on, like what I have to do tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow's going to be a busy arrival day. Like I have to flip these rooms. So it's always on the go, 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 go. And that's why I feel like it's one of the most easiest industries to burn out from. You see people go in there for 2 years and they're completely out. They're doing another industry. I've definitely had those moments in these 7 years where I'm like, I don't know if I can do hotels or hospitality anymore because I feel burnt out. And it's very, very common because you're working 14 hours where, for example, you just worked a 9-day stretch and you're just tired, but yet you always have to be your best self. So you go home and you have to check in with yourself. Sometimes I'll come home, for example, it's a perfect example. I'll come home and I'm like, wow, this is a crazy day. Like I just had XYZ happen. Like, whoo, like I, you know, I'm telling Joey all about it. And he's just like, okay, let's do this temporal distancing thing where I'm going to ask you, like, will this even matter 10 years from now? And I look at him, I'm like, of course not. Like, I won't even be talking about this 10 years from now. And so it's like checking in with yourself where he's like, okay, you know what? We have to go out. We have to go hiking. You need some nature time. Like, don't even look at your emails. Turn off your notifications. Put your phone on airplane mode. Like, get out there. And that's the reason why I love Hawaii so much, is because you look out, there's so much to do nature-wise, and then it quiets your mind and it reminds you what matters most. And sometimes it's just sitting by the rocks looking at the ocean, and then you come back the next day to work and you're so refreshed. You have all these creative ideas and you're ready to go. But if you don't honor that time that you need to disconnect and reset, this industry is going to drive you crazy. But if you honor that and you constantly remind yourself, like, hey, Caroline, like, how are you doing today? Like, are you feeling a little overwhelmed? Go out for a walk. Look at the sunset. Let's remind us what really matters at the end of the day. Let's forget about hotels for a while and come back to it. And then you're just renewed and you're ready to go. And I think that check-in process is very, very essential, especially if you're in the hospitality industry.
Yeah. And I remember you said a lot of people, their dream is to be a GM, but is that your dream job or what is it?
It was my dream when I was first starting out in the industry, I think, because, you know, it's almost like everyone's dream, especially for the ambitious ones. They want to be a GM. You know, it's just like the title. It sounds so cool to have your own hotel. And for a long time, that was like why I think I was very ambitious and always like wanting to, you know, work around the world. I wanted to be like fast tracked and all that. I think lately it's looked a lot different for me. I think in the past 2-3 years, I've started to surround myself with a lot of entrepreneurial people, like the creatives. I've also gotten to know myself much better and like being able to reflect on like what is that spark within me. And after I graduated college, I spent 3 months in Colombia, just traveling around there, learning Spanish, and particularly fell in love with the city of Medellin. And, you know, like I was traveling around 13 different cities and staying in like 15 plus hostels. And I just loved it. Probably my highlight experience of my entire life so far. And, you know, for a moment, I was like, you know, what if I just stop everything and move over here to Medellin and like, you know, start my own thing, whether it's a hostel or a hotel, and like kind of brew it and like collaborate with a lot of, you know, great people. And that was always kind of like brewing through in the back of my mind. But I'm also like, I kind of also want some structure, some cushion. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna come back to Hawaii and get some more experience. And then eventually I would love to like start my own thing, you know, Medellin or one of my best friends. I met her in the hotel school and she's like definitely such a passionate hotelier. We have like this platform between us where we have a message there where we just share so many things are happening cool in the hotel space. And we just constantly inspire each other to think and ideate. And me and her name is JJ, and she lives in Thailand right now. And we want to start something of our own, perhaps in Thailand. So, you know, these are different things that are constantly brewing through our mind. And like, it's knowing that the possibilities are so endless. And like, I always remind myself, like, I'm only 23. I have time. Like, I don't need to rush through it. And even if my dream next year changes, that's okay. As long as I always stay true to myself and I make sure that what I say, what I do, how I think will always align with my values. And that's why I take like leadership, for example, like I take that to pride and I take that very carefully. I never want to be like a bad leader or a leader just because I'm under a lot of stress. I treat people poorly. Like I always, you know, thoughtfully think, okay, like I want this to align with my values. So if this job, for example, that I took did not align with my values, I would have left it. And I think that's a good question to always ask yourself to check in before you start thinking about your big dreams, because I just think naturally ambitious people will get there like when we get there.
What's the most difficult decision you've had to make to fulfill your destiny?
Wow. That is such a great question. Okay. I think I have an answer for that. I think when I graduated from Cornell, I was probably my ambition levels were at its peak. I want to accelerate through my career. I wanted to like have my own hotel by like a very young age. And at that point, I knew that I already had an offer to be an assistant manager right upon graduation. So it was like 2 weeks after I was graduating, I would get that assistant manager role. And I was like, this is perfect. Cause like, you know, I'm just like nonstop, go, 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 go. And then there was this moment I remember so clearly where there is this international travel award. So I applied for it and it's like one senior gets this award for the Cornell Hotel School. And it's basically this idea where, like, if you travel to any location and you learn the language, like, all your funds from, like, the travel, the food, the lodging, all the expenses would be covered for. And you'll be able to have this amazing once-in-a-lifetime experience. And that could be up to 1 year. And so, like, I applied, you know, like, I didn't think much of it. And then I ended up getting that award. And I was so, so, so grateful. And I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I've always wanted to go to, you know, Colombia, and I want to learn Spanish. And I remember going over to the hotel director of HR at that time. And they were like, honestly, like, we really need you to start like 2 weeks after you graduate. Like, would you be able to learn Spanish another time, or, like, you know, travel another time? Because, like, our hotel needs you right now. And I remember at that time, like, thinking, shoot, my job is going to be in jeopardy. And, like, this was an amazing opportunity I didn't want to pass by. But then ultimately I decided, you know what, like, this experience of traveling, like, learning a language and, like, being out there by myself is going to be a once in a lifetime experience. I'm willing to take the time to pause on my career to do something that will fulfill me personally. And I, like, negotiated. I initially wanted, like, 6 months. They wanted me to start in 2 weeks. And we ended up meeting in a sweet spot of, like, 3 months and a half. And I took that time off. Until this day, it has been an experience that I will never forget, and that taught me the most about myself. I did solo traveling throughout all of Colombia. I was learning, you know, Spanish. I was doing a lot of immersion. And that was a time where I felt like I was not getting any validation for my career. My true happiness just came from, like, dancing around streets and just, like, you know, like, just, I was so happy. I, like, skip around, like, every day, like, walking to my Spanish class and, like, going to the restaurants. I was just so happy and I was carefree. And I think that experience reminded me that, like, those are the things that matter in life. Like, taking that time for yourself to rethink, like, where you want to go, like, how you want to shape your career, and honoring that time, I think it has taught me a lot. And it was a difficult decision because in the beginning, I wanted to, you know, be super ambitious and, like, accelerate right away. I was like, why should I even take any breaks? The idea of a break sounded bizarre to me because I'd been working nonstop since I was 16. I've never really had a full summer to myself. And when I finally took that break, it gave me the most refreshing perspective that I needed to continue forth.
That's amazing. I really like that, how you're willing to take that risk, because I think people are very scared about careers and, like, taking a pause. But time and time again, when I hear people about this, they are always able to find their way back, honestly.
Right. It's kind of like what you know, people always say, like, that industry or that job will always be there for you.
What do you think is the best thing you did for your career?
Best thing I did for my career. You know, I was working with Four Seasons for quite a while. I would say 6 years, right? I don't remember how many properties, but 4 or 5. And the idea of leaving it just sounded like a crazy, crazy thing to do, because I felt like I could see myself with a company forever. You know, I was always just checking with myself. I was like, Caroline, was there a reason you don't want to leave Four Seasons? And I was always thinking, like, I just don't know if, like, another company will be as good as it. And, like, I also don't want to lose out on this opportunity to continue to grow with the company. And it wasn't until early this year when one of my great friends, her name was Kelsey, and she kind of, you know, just told me, she's like, hey, Caroline, you know what I think you're missing? Like, you're missing that creative stimulation. Like, you're such a creative person. And, like, I don't necessarily know, like, if this is, like, the best company, because, like, maybe you should be looking for a company that is quite brand new, you know, is always looking for, like, new ways to develop and innovate and ideate, and less of a structure, less of a hierarchy. And I was like, okay, yeah. And so this is a fun story, because I was like, you know what, let me do something crazy. Let me just look at a boutique hotel in Melbourne, Australia, and let me just move over there. I want to start this whole new chapter of mine. And I, like, had tickets bought there. Like, I was already going to talk to the GM over there. And, like, he, like, had already seen, like, my resume. I told him what I want to do. He's, like, all very impressed. Like, things were looking very great. It was just kind of, like, a conversation of where I would fit in the hotel, like, what my role would be. And 2 days before that, one of my great friends from the hotel school, his name is Jonathan, he, like, sent me a message. He's like, hey, you should check out Auberge Resorts Mauna Lani in Hawaii. They just did a renovation, and I think you would love the company. And so this is, like, 2 days before the flight was going to take off to Australia for 2 weeks. And I was pretty set by that time on moving to Melbourne. And I, like, looked it up quickly and I saw a role. I was like, guest experience. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, let me just, you know, take a look and apply. So I applied on a whim, and that same day they were like, hey, can you come in next morning to interview? And I was like, oh, wow, that was a quick turnaround. I did not expect that. I was thinking like maybe after I come back from Australia. And so that whole day I did the interview with the HR person, the director of rooms, and then the resort manager, and then the general manager. And then by the end of it, they're like, okay, we have your offer. Like, we want you like for this new role. Like, will you take him? And I was like, whoa, that like all happened so fast. And I was like, okay, I'm going to Australia, so I need some time. So when I went over to Australia, I had this epiphany where I was like, you know what? I actually can see myself living in Hawaii forever. Like, I want to be in that place. I fell in love with, you know, Melbourne and like Sydney and Tasmania, but it wasn't the kind where I wanted to live there forever. And so I was like, I just messaged the GM. I was like, you know, like maybe next opportunity. I think I found an opportunity. So I flew back, took this Elbridge opportunity, and it has been an amazing experience thus far because it has challenged me and it has grown me in, you know, such a way that I could not imagine, of being able to constantly pitch different ideas to the executive committee and them being like, okay, let's make it happen. And that ownership is something that I did not have in the years prior.
I love that story. Actually, alternatively, what do you think is the biggest mistake you made in your career?
Ooh, coming at me with the hard questions, Christine. I would say maybe even staying with Four Seasons for the length that I did, because I think that if I had been kind of challenging myself to see how different companies and cultures approach different ways, I would have a more broadened perspective. Because I think right now, even as I go into working with Elbridge, I think about it and I'm like, okay, I know how Four Seasons does it. And Four Seasons is a great example of someone who does hospitality hotels amazingly well. But I kind of usually only have that in my back pocket. Would wish is that like I worked for different like, you know, quirky hotels like Ace Hotels or like One Hotels and like different hotels and have more of a diverse portfolio. So I'm like, oh, you know what? Like Four Seasons did this well, but like One Hotel does this well in sustainability terms. And like Ace Hotels, I love their amenities. I love their lobby design, all of that. And being able to draw from different experiences, I wish that I had made it more diverse. Now, I would say like for, you know, listeners out there, like if you're stuck with one company, like I challenge you to go outside and look for a different company completely opposite of that, because it's going to be so helpful when you start diversifying your experiences and being able to use that in your future. So I think for me, now that I'm going to Elbridge, I think like this is a great starting point because I'm really starting to diversify my way of thinking, my approach, and the way that I see hospitality.
Yeah, wait, that's a great answer. Okay, so last question. What advice would you give to others looking to break into the hotel industry?
My prime advice for people looking into the hospitality industry is start working at a hotel. And that's super easy. Just, you know, like right now, especially we'll have to wait for the COVID climates, but eventually the hospitality industry will definitely pick up and you need to start working at hotels or restaurants. You want to get that tangible experience, right? Starting working from a line level or even assistant manager or manager in training program, but getting the basic fundamentals of like how it all works. Because I can tell you, I can explain it, but it's so much more different than if you're actually working that industry yourself and you learn from it. So I think the number one thing is get that experiential learning. You could read so many different books. I used to have like 30 different hotel books and I would just read them day to day. But like what I learned more from was like experiential learning. And you want to get out there and work at this department for 3 months, maybe try another internship at a different department and just know that there's so much growth and you can bounce around anywhere you want as long as you have the right passion for it.
Cool. Well, that is the end of our interview. Sorry it went so long. I was wondering at the end, we usually give our guests 60 seconds to pitch anything they like. Is there anything you'd like to pitch?
I love that. For me, I think I would just do like a life pitch. I think it's something that I've gotten a lot of clarity of recently. And I think it's as you continue to grow older, whether it's graduating college or you're going through college or you're like 30 now, a lot of times you're influenced by the outside noises. I think you have to ask yourself, like, what did I want to do when I was 6? You know, and like, what did I want to do? Or who did I want to become when I was 16? You want to use your youth as your prime compass, because I think at that time when you're younger was when there was more truth to what you wanted to do. There was no what ifs, there was no buts. It was really like what fueled you, what drove you, what excited you. And if you always use your youth as your prime compass, it's going to really lead you to an eventually a dream job that aligns with your values. And you're going to remember, like, this is what keeps me curious. This is what keeps me fulfilled. And this is what gives me that adrenaline rush. Don't look to your other peers that are much older than you or that are doing this and that. no one really cares about that. Just honor that six-year-old voice in you. Like, what did I want to be when I was six? And, you know, try to do something that still is in that field or that realm that has always excited you since you're young.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Caroline.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with the magnetic Caroline Schoen. There really was such a lot of wisdom, especially life wisdom, packed into this episode. I think the thing I've admired most about her is how she really got to know herself and use that knowledge to get the most joy from life she can. I think there's a lot we can all learn from her. Stick around to the end of the episode for a sneak preview of our next guest. Make sure to check out our website, thenewschoolpodcast.com. There you can find links to anything mentioned in the episode in our show notes, and you can suggest amazing guests for the show you like to see. We also have a newsletter you should definitely sign up for. It's the ultimate weekly guide to turning your passions into a meaningful career. Get every episode as soon as it drops by subscribing to The New School wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a minute, we love it if you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. To stay up to date on all things The New School, follow us on Instagram at The New School Podcast and on Twitter at The New School Pod. Next week, we're talking to the sensational, gritty Eric Linden. And let me tell you, folks, this is one episode you don't want to miss. Eric defied his small town origins to pursue a seriously ambitious career. He moved out to LA to become a stuntman in Hollywood, and he is doing amazing. He started out working really brutal jobs as an extra on set, but has now worked in stunts for various features like Suicide Squad and Avengers Endgame.
A lot of the stunt community is word of mouth. You are auditioning for this stunt coordinator to say good things about you later. Were you cool on set? Did you do your job? Were you on time? Did you say you could do a backflip and then you got on set? Could you do the backflip? Did you accidentally hit the actor? Did you go too far? Did you land where you're supposed to? Like all this stuff. You get your one opportunity to go in there and they're going to like blow up the whole room and then you're going to have a squib on your chest. And when that thing goes off, you need to fall down. Don't mess it up because they're blowing up the entire room.
Make sure you're back here next Monday to hear from Eric how he got his very first stunt role, how he steadily climbed up the Hollywood ranks to become a stunt coordinator, and hear him dish a dirt on what working on a movie set is actually like. All right, guys, have a great day. Try something new today. The New School with Christine Hong is produced by Jenny Snyder, Claire Whiteley, and Alexia Marsola. Editing by Sydney Salk, John Simpson, and Joseph Cho. Special thanks to our marketing team who help us spread our mission and put the New School name out there. Katie Osaki, Dina Che, Marissa Wolfsheimer, and Giovanni Cortez.